there. This is the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 505. I'm Steve Webb, your host. Yep, 2 days in a row. The new hard drive is humming away just like it should. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. To keep things interesting, we're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New. Each day we alternate the tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we'll read 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 from the Good News Translation. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If any of you have a dispute with another Christian, how dare you go before heathen judges instead of letting God's people settle the matter? Don't you know that God's people will judge the world? Well then, if you are to judge the world, aren't you capable of judging small matters? Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more then the things of this life? If such matters come up, are you going to take them to be settled by people who have no standing in the church? Shame on you! Surely there is at least one wise person in your fellowship who can settle a dispute between fellow Christians. Instead, one Christian goes to court against another and lets unbelievers judge the case. The very fact that you have legal disputes among yourselves shows that you have failed completely. Would it not be better for you to be wronged? Would it not be better for you to be robbed? Instead, you yourselves wrong one another and rob one another, even other believers. Surely you know that the wicked will not possess God's kingdom. Do not fool yourselves. People who are immoral or who worship idols or are adulterers or homosexual perverts or who steal or are greedy or are drunkards or who slander others or are thieves, none of these will possess God's kingdom. Some of you were like that, but you have been purified from sin. You have been dedicated to God. You have been put right with God by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Someone will say, I am allowed to do anything. Yes, but not everything is good for you. I could say that I am allowed to do anything, but I am not going to let anything make me its slave. Someone else will say, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. Yes, but God will put an end to both. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality, but to serve the Lord. And the Lord provides for the body. God raised the Lord from death, and He will also raise us by His power. You know that your bodies are parts of the body of Christ. Shall I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of the body of a prostitute? Impossible. Or perhaps you don't know that a man who joins his body to a prostitute becomes physically one with her. The Scripture says quite plainly, the two will become one body. But he who joins himself to the Lord becomes spiritually one with Him. Avoid immorality. Any other sin a man commits does not affect his body, but the man who is guilty of sexual immorality sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price. So use your bodies for God's glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, to deal with the matters you wrote about. A man does well not to marry. But because there is so much immorality, every man should have his own wife, and every woman should have her own husband. A man should fulfill his duty as a husband, and a woman should fulfill her duty as a wife, and each should satisfy the other's needs. A wife is not the master of her own body, but her husband is. In the same way, a husband is not the master of his own body, but his wife is. Do not deny yourselves to each other, unless you first agree to do so for a while, in order to spend your time in prayer. But then resume normal marital relations. In this way, you will be kept from giving in to Satan's temptation because of your lack of self-control. I tell you this not as an order, but simply as a permission. Actually, I would prefer that all of you were as I am, but each one has a special gift from God. One person this gift, another one that gift. Now, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say that it would be better for you to continue to live alone as I do. But if you cannot restrain your desires, go ahead and marry. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. For married people I have a command which is not my own, but the Lord's. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does, she must remain single, or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the others I say, I myself, not the Lord, if a Christian man has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she agrees to go on living with him, he must not divorce her. And if a Christian woman is married to a man who is an unbeliever, and he agrees to go on living with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made acceptable to God by being united to his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made acceptable to God by being united to her Christian husband. If this were not so, their children would be like pagan children, but as it is, they are acceptable to God. However, if the one who is not a believer wishes to leave the Christian partner, let it be so. In such cases, the Christian partner, whether husband or wife, is free to act. God has called you to live in peace. How can you be sure, Christian wife, that you will not save your husband? Or how can you be sure, Christian husband, that you will not save your wife? Each of you should go on living according to the Lord's gift to you, and as you were when God called you. This is the rule I teach in all the churches. If a circumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not try to remove the marks of circumcision. If an uncircumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not get circumcised. For whether or not a man is circumcised means nothing. What matters is to obey God's commandments. Each of you should remain as you were when you accepted God's call. Were you a slave when God called you? Well, never mind. But if you have a chance to become free, use it. For a slave who has been called by the Lord is the Lord's free person. In the same way, a free person who has been called by Christ is his slave. God bought you for a price, so do not become slaves of people. My friends, each of you should remain in fellowship with God in the same condition that you were when you were called. Now, concerning what you wrote about unmarried people, I do not have a command from the Lord, but I give my opinion as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is worthy of trust. Considering the present distress, I think it is better for a man to stay as he is. Do you have a wife? Then don't try to get rid of her. Are you unmarried? Then don't look for a wife. But if you do marry, you haven't committed a sin. And if an unmarried woman marries, she hasn't committed a sin. But I would rather spare you the everyday troubles that married people will have. What I mean, my friends, is this. There is not much time left, and from now on, married people should live as though they were not married. Those who weep, as though they were not sad. Those who laugh, as though they were not happy. Those who buy, as though they did not own what they bought. Those who deal in material goods, as though they were not fully occupied with them. For this world, as it is now, will not last much longer. I would like you to be free from worry. An unmarried man concerns himself with the Lord's work because he is trying to please the Lord. But a married man concerns himself with worldly matters because he wants to please his wife, and so he is pulled in two directions. An unmarried woman or a virgin concerns herself with the Lord's work because she wants to be dedicated both in body and spirit. But a married woman concerns herself with worldly matters because she wants to please her husband. I'm saying this because I want to help you. I'm not trying to put restrictions on you. Instead, I want you to do what is right and proper, and to give yourselves completely to the Lord's service without any reservation. In the case of an engaged couple who have decided not to marry, if the man feels that he is not acting properly toward the young woman, and if his passions are too strong, and he feels that they ought to marry, then they should get married, as he wants to. There is no sin in this. But if a man, without being forced to do so, has firmly made up his mind not to marry, and if he still has his will under complete control, and has already decided in his own mind what to do, then he does well not to marry the young woman. So the man who marries does well, but the one who doesn't marry does even better. A married woman is not free as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, then she is free to be married to any man she wishes, but only if he is a Christian. She will be happier, however, if she stays as she is. That is my opinion, and I think that I too have God's Spirit. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. In all the years I've been podcasting, I don't know that I've ever explicitly addressed the topic of slavery. In chapter 7, Paul said that if a person was a slave when he or she accepted God's call, he should remain a slave. The Bible mentions slavery in lots of places, and it never denounces it. Have you ever noticed that? You probably have, and this is something that people who don't understand or who don't want to accept the Bible and therefore God love to bring up as a reason for their dislike of or hatred of God. We have to understand that our perception of slavery is colored by the last few hundred years of human history. When we think of slavery, our thoughts are of Africans who were forcibly taken from their homes and brought to America and sold into bondage, or we think of the sex trade of modern times. Both of those kinds of slavery are abhorrent to God, and guess what? The Bible does vehemently speak against it. In Exodus 21:16, the Mosaic Law says, "Anyone who kidnaps another and either sells him or still has him when he is caught must be put to death." Well, how's that? Does that speak strongly enough for you? Oh, you want something from the New Testament? Okay. Slave traders are in the same category as people who kill their parents, or who murder, or who commit adultery and other sexual sins, or who are liars and perjurers. Listen to 1 Timothy 1:8-10. "Now we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the ungodly and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine." So yes, the Bible does tell us that God hates the kind of slavery that we typically think of. So what other kind of slavery is there? Why does the Bible and other references seem to contradict itself? I mean, after all, there are several places where it gives instruction on how slaves are to be treated. To understand this kind of slavery, we have to go back to the time when the Bible was written. Back then, slavery was not at all based on skin color or race or nationality. It was more of an economic situation. People would sell themselves into slavery when they could not provide for themselves or pay their debts. Some even sold themselves so that they would have all their needs met by their masters. In those cases, it was actually a voluntary thing. And when you think about it, some employment situations today are not far from this kind of arrangement. I can think of several employers today that dictate how their employees look and even what they can and cannot do, even when they're not on the clock. In exchange, the employer provides a paycheck, health care, retirement benefits, etc. In almost any employee-employer relationship, the employee gives up a certain amount of autonomy for the security, quote-unquote, of a paycheck and other perceived benefits. Now, there is, of course, a much larger discussion that could be had on this topic, comparing employment versus slavery, but that's for another forum. I just want you to realize that God hates the kind of slavery that we typically think of today, and yes, He has said that it is abhorrent to Him. Your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, we'll be back to Isaiah. We'll start with chapter 58, which means that we're almost through with that book. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. Thanks to my friendly editor for his ongoing monthly gifts. If you'd like to help support the show, all the details are at support.lifespringmedia.com. Thanks for checking that out. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.